Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Today on Age of Heroes, we have a special program of the Elysium Project where we'll be meeting the candidates for the 2021 Tenafly Board of Education. And we're going to start with Imbal Israeli Miller. Imbal is a resident of Tenafly for 16 years and counting. She's been serving our community as a Tenafly Board of Education trustee since 2019. During this time, she's worked on various committees and district-wide groups, including communications and policy, curriculum and technology, finance and alternative revenue, joint use, negotiations, nutrition advisory council, health professionals and administrators roundtable, and many more. Imbal has championed issues like school nutrition, gifted and talented, and responsible spending. She strives for each student to fulfill their potential and thrive into their best selves. Since the pandemic, Imbal has been working diligently to help reimagine education in the COVID era, safety and equitably reopening our schools, maintaining academic rigor, and promoting wellness for students and staff. Imbal's educational background is in economics, statistics, and business administration from Tel Aviv University. Before immigrating to the U.S., she worked at the campus of Israel's largest bank, teaching investment consulting to bank employees while developing new classes and curriculum. Imbal devotes all of her time and energy to her family and to our district. Welcome, Imbal. What an impressive resume.
Good evening, Hercules. Thank you so much for this lovely introduction and for hosting me on your podcast. I really appreciate all you do for Tenafly. And I want to thank the listeners tuning in to learn more about their elected officials and Board of Education candidates. I hope you all enjoy this podcast.
Thank you very much. And you have a wonderful name. Well, where are you from originally?
Oh, I grew up in Israel, hence my name, Israeli Miller. So I'm the oldest of three children. Mm-hmm. All my grandparents were Holocaust survivors who kept their children close. So I grew up with a close-knit extended family. We all lived within a walking distance from each other. So it was a very happy, family-oriented childhood. We lived in a beach town, and my first memories are of my dad and my grandma taking us to the beach every Saturday morning. We'd play in the white silky sand and swim in the warm Mediterranean Sea. And by noon, when it would get really hot, my dad would drop us off at my grandma's house for the rest of the day. I loved spending this time with my grandparents. Only when I became a parent myself, I realized how much my parents must have loved it. It was really smart planning on their part. So, my life started out on a very standard path. I graduated high school. I joined the army for a couple of years, which is mandatory in Israel. Then I went to college, met my future husband, started a career, and got married. Now, I'm a planner. I like to plan ahead. And I just assumed that I knew where my life was going. Not in a million years would I have imagined that my life would turn out to be what it is today.
Well, you've had an amazing life from what you've shared, and I'm looking forward to learning more. It must have been, you describe a very wonderful childhood. What was it that led you to emigrate here to America?
Well, I never decided to immigrate. It just sort of happened. I'm very close with my family. I never meant to live my life so far away from them. My husband had always wanted to experience life in a different country. So the plan was to live in the United States for a couple of years and then move back. The first year was terrible. I missed my family like crazy and just wanted to go back. The second year, my husband convinced me to move to Tenafly because he heard such great things about the town. And indeed, that's when things started shifting and I found happiness again. I still plan to go back, though. It wasn't until my son entered kindergarten that I realized this is where I want to raise my children. So, you see, I never decided to immigrate. It was Tenafly that got a hold on me.
Tenafly is a wonderful town. I've lived here on and off for many years as well, and it's a wonderful place. I came back to Tenafly to retire, and it's the best decision I've made. So I agree with you about Tenafly being an awesome place. And I'm glad that you found your home and your purpose, and you've made a tremendous contribution to the Tenafly community. What are some of the challenges that you faced coming here?
Well, I think the biggest challenge that I've faced is being so far away from my extended family. You know, my kids don't know what it's like to grow up in a big, close-knit family. They're not bothered by that because they don't know what they're missing, but I know. And then there's our parents and grandparents. They grow old. Some of them pass away, and we're not there for their final years. It hurts. That's my biggest challenge. But, you know, we all make our choices in life, and I don't regret mine. I love this town. I feel so fortunate to be raising my kids here in this wonderful, diverse community and in the safety of our outstanding schools. I truly feel at home here, and it is the only home my children have ever known.
Can you tell us more about your kids?
Sure. I have three kids. They're my pride and joy. Each one is amazing in their own way. Eret is my oldest. He has this endless thirst for knowledge and an inner drive that takes him to wonderful places. He's a high school senior at Bergen Academies. He holds leadership positions on his school's math team, physics team, and cybersecurity team. He's doing quantum mechanics research in Princeton University. And next month, he will be representing the United States at the International Astronomy and Astrophysics Olympiad as a member of the Olympic team. So he is gifted, but he's also well-rounded with interests beyond his studies. He loves the outdoors. He was the senior patrol leader of Tenafly's Boy Scout Troop 86. But most of all, he's kind and caring, and I'm very proud of the man he's becoming.
Awesome.
Then there's Daniel. Sorry?
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Great.
I am very proud. So then there's Daniel, who was the youngest for a long time. He's adorable. He always has a smile on his face, except for when he doesn't, and then, you know, something's wrong. He's very opinionated. He fights for what he believes, much like his mom, and he has something to say about everything. He is bright and sensitive, and like most kids, he prefers to spend his time playing. But when something catches his interest, he learns everything there is to know about it and becomes a true expert. He's a freshman at Tenafly High School and is finally taking school seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I love this kid. So for the longest time, I was a mother of boys until finally my little Haley came, my double rainbow baby, and completed our family. She's a sweetheart, constantly spreading her love around, very creative, full of imagination. She makes up the most interesting stories and never runs out of ideas. Really, she brings so much joy to our lives. Haley's in first grade at McKay, and she was diagnosed with special needs a couple of years ago. You know, it takes a lot of patience to raise a child with special needs. My boys sometimes say, "You'd never let us get away with that. It's like you're a different mom with her." So I tell them I was a different mom between the two of them as well. They were just too young to notice. You know, as a parent, you need to adapt to your child's needs, and so as an educator.
Yeah. Well, you have wonderful children, and they're all creative, and they have all sorts of abilities and focus. What do you think, as a parent, as an educator, and as someone who is on the Board of Education as a trustee, what do you think overall about our educational system?
Well, I feel very fortunate for my children to be educated in our school system. You know, it is very welcoming and inclusive. Our children are being taught to be kind to one another and appreciate each other's differences. We have good support systems in place for those who need it for whatever reason. We have fantastic teachers and staff who are not only wonderful, but also really care about our children's well-being. We are a high-achieving district, and we celebrate excellence, but at the same time, we appreciate and acknowledge effort, and we don't let those who struggle feel discouraged. You know, our schools are a safe space for children of all kinds, and I don't take any of it for granted. My children have different needs, and so I've experienced our schools from different perspectives, and I draw from these experiences when I look at the areas where our district can improve. You know, for example, one of the reasons I initially decided to become a trustee was because I saw that the adaptations for the higher academic levels that my gifted son needed at any given year were not systematically embedded into the curriculum. And it seemed like the school had to reinvent the wheel trying to adapt to his size year after year. So I wanted to affect change in the gifted and talented program. While my gifted son would not get to enjoy it, since by then he already entered high school at Bergen Academies, there are plenty of other gifted students in our district that will benefit from it. And indeed, from my work at the curriculum committee, I was able to advance this issue and support our administration in implementing a plan to enhance our gifted services. For example, my son Daniel, who is a mainstream student, is a sensitive boy. He needed a lot of support from his school counselor to work through events that were happening during the school day. So through him, I learned how essential our school counselors really are and what an important role they play in the lives of our children. You know, the school counselor is really the one constant figure throughout a student's journey in a given building. Students who need support really benefit from their relationship with this trusted figure in their lives. So when I supported the initiative to add a dedicated college counselor to our high school counseling department, I knew that not only will that role advance our services for our students as they prepare to apply for college, but it will also reduce the load of work of all the other counselors, which meant they'd have more time to devote to their students' daily needs. My daughter Haley is traveling through the special education path. Mm-hmm. She's done her evaluation and diagnosis process through the district, and it's been an eye-opening experience for me. You know, by the time she was diagnosed, I've already been a parent in our school system for over a decade, and I was serving my first year as a Board of Education trustee. Yet I didn't really know how special education actually worked. Special education is not an area we meddle with on the board. It's governed by many rules under the law and a lot of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
The child study team makes the recommendations for special education students, and it is never the board trustee's role to question that. It is the board's role to make sure that we always follow all the legal channels throughout the process of special education. Any deviation from that may expose our district to extensive lawsuits. So as a trustee, one of my important responsibilities to my constituents is to protect the district from liability, because that would be a lot of money coming out of people's pockets.
Right.
No one wants that. So here I am, walking my own daughter through the sacred path, and we've only just begun. And I must say, so far, I've been very impressed by the special services our district provides. I think special education students benefit the most when they can get all the services they need within our district. And we do offer a lot, but I think we can offer much more, and I plan to work on that.
That is awesome. Wow, you've done a lot and you're doing a lot, and you're helping not only your own children, but the children of everyone in Tenafly. That is amazing. How has it been like with the pandemic? The pandemic has affected everything. How has it affected our school district, you, your family, other people in education?
Well, you know, I think the pandemic was a difficult experience for everyone. My husband is immunocompromised, so to protect him, we went into complete isolation right from the get-go. We didn't leave the house, and no one would come in. The kids understood why we had to do that. Even my little one didn't complain. So it was tough socially, but within our home, it was nice spending so much time together. We really enjoy each other's company. And we were lucky that both my husband and I could work from home. Naturally, we were also worried about our parents, but let's not get into that.
Okay.
For me, you know, when I became a trustee, it was no longer about my own children. I became responsible for the education and well-being of all the children in town. That's a big responsibility on its own. And then when the pandemic hit, and I had to make completely unprecedented decisions that would literally mean life or death, that's a really heavy burden to carry. I felt like my first and foremost responsibility was to keep everyone safe. I made sure to stay informed with the most relevant, up-to-date information as it was unfolding to the world. I joined our district's health professionals and administrators roundtable to listen to the views of the health experts within our community. And as we were creating our reopening plan, I pushed to maximize our protections using every available science-based approach, from masking to ventilation to social distancing and sanitation. I also put a lot of emphasis on equity. It was clear that the younger students had the most difficulty learning virtually. So I really pushed for us to add classes and teachers to enable all kindergartners and first graders to be able to attend school fully in person. Thankfully, when the social distancing best practice guidance changed in the spring, we were able to offer the same to all our students. So it was a tough time, but our safety measures worked, and our district had no in-school spread of COVID. So that's my silver lining.
Thank you very much. And now you've been a politician for 16 years now with the school board. How does that feel that you're basically part of our political system? You're out there, public service, you're helping to make society a better place.
Well, I've been a Tenafly resident for 16 years. I've been on the board for 3.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And no, it's okay. But, you know, I don't really see myself as a politician. I'm more of a public servant. I don't try to attract much attention. You know, this whole campaigning thing is really out of my comfort zone. I just wanted to get the job done and get it done right. You know, I used to attend board meetings for years before I ran for office. I didn't like what I was seeing. I would wait patiently until it was time for public comments at the very end of the meeting, usually close to midnight. I'd make my suggestions for improvement, and they would fall on deaf ears. No one else would hear my suggestions, as only a couple of other people would attend, if any. So finally, I remembered the old saying, if you can't beat them, join them. And so I did. I ran for office so I can affect change from within. And by the way, once I joined the board, I immediately supported a change to the way our public meetings are being conducted so that residents can address the board with their concerns at the beginning of each meeting instead of having to wait for hours till the end.
And now you're an agent for positive change, and you're going for re-election. What more positive changes would you like to see?
Well, You know, all the difficulties that our board has faced over the last couple of years only emphasized to me how important it is to have the right people at the helm, making the tough decisions for the right reasons and under careful consideration. Now, the work I've been doing has contributed significantly to the resolutions of our difficulties. No other group has had to deal with what board trustees have had to deal with in this time period, successfully prioritized health and safety, and managed to keep our schools open. So now that we're back to a new normal, there is so much work to be done, so many initiatives that were put on hold during the pandemic, as well as new areas which require attention. And you know, it takes time to learn how to do the work of a trustee and how to properly affect change. Change doesn't happen overnight. It's a slow process, especially in a district of our size. The majority of the board has changed in recent years and is still changing. When I'm hopefully reelected come January, I will be the third most experienced member on the board. And that's
wow.
With only 3 years of experience under my belt. So continuity on our board is extremely important at this time, so we can keep promoting, advancing, and implementing the changes that we want to see. You know, I'm results-oriented. My educational background may be an analytical thinker. I never shy away from asking tough questions. I think out of the box. I look for creative solutions. And I always look forward to where we could be. I find that my overall approach brings balance and much-needed diversity of thought to our board. I really care about everything that's going on in our district, and I'm here for the long run. I'm willing to keep putting in the hard work to keep our district at the forefront of education. I think always been evident that I serve our community with passion, and I'm confident that I have a lot more to contribute. I hope to earn everyone's vote and continue to do the important work ahead.
Thank you so very much. And now I work for the polls. I've been doing that since 2014 when I moved back to Tenafly. And midterm elections usually have less participation. And now with the pandemic, there are all other issues involved with voting as well that we're seeing play out in the nation. What would you tell people to encourage them to vote during these times?
Well, you know, we all have a civic duty to vote. I was a young adult when the TV series The West Wing first aired. I'm a huge fan. Have you watched it?
I caught one or two of them, but no, I wasn't a fan of the show.
Oh, I highly recommend it. I watched it all again during the last presidential elections, and it's still relevant 20 years later. So on an episode called The Midterms, President Bartlett is obsessed with the local school board elections of a small district. And when he's asked why, he explains, boards of education and city councils are where all the governing that matters really happens. So elections for the board of education happen every year. And it is our duty, children, to make sure that the best people are elected to serve our community. I hope you vote for me, and so does everyone else. If you're looking for voter information, you can find it on my website in balfourboe.com. And you can find more information there on the work that I've been doing and my priorities.
Thank you so very much. I will place links to that in the social media where I promoted today's show. Is there anything else you'd like to say or anything else you'd like to tell us, like what are your favorite foods or anything, so people can get to know you better before we wrap up?
Oh, sure. Wow, my favorite foods. I have so many different kinds of foods that I like. It's really impossible to choose a favorite. I'm always down for baked potatoes with melted cheese on top, though. You know, come to think of it, growing up, my favorite food was always my grandma's cooking. But when I came here, I discovered Japanese food, Indian food, Vietnamese food. The problem is, no matter how many recipes I try, I can never make it taste as good as the restaurants in town. You know, I saw a cartoon once of a mom serving a dish to her little girl, and the daughter says, "Grandma makes it better." In the next picture, the little girl is all grown up, serving the same dish to her son, and he says, "Grandma makes it better." Well, raising kids so far from their grandmas, I'm spared that comparison. Instead, I get, "Fuva makes the sushi better. Visa makes the chicken tikka masala better. Simply Vietnamese makes the spicy beef better." So I've given up trying and I just ordering.
Very true and very well said. Imbal, thank you so very much for everything you've done for Tenafly and all that you will continue to do for Tenafly. I wish you great success in the upcoming election.
Thank you so much, Hercules. And again, thanks to everyone who tuned in to listen. I hope you have a great night.
And I will take your advice and I will give the show, the West Wing, a second chance.
Yes. Highly recommended.
Have a wonderful evening, and thank you.
You too.
And thanks to everybody who's tuned in. We're going to take a brief break, and we're going to listen to Virginia Ackley's If You Can Dream, and then we'll be back.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky. But only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real.
And welcome back to Age of Heroes. I'm Hercules Invictus, and today we have a program in the Elysium Project, a public service, and our topic is the 2021 Tenafly Board of Education elections. And now I'm honored to be bringing you Lawrence Lewitin. Lawrence first moved to Tenafly in 1979. He started at Smith School in second grade and graduated Tenafly High School in 1990. His brother Albert and his sister Sarah also graduated from Tenafly High School. Lawrence went on to graduate New York University with double majors in economics and political science, and he earned an MBA and Master of International Affairs from Columbia University. He is also a chartered financial analyst and charter holder. Lawrence moved back to Tenafly with his wife Robin to raise his two children, ages 6 and 4. However, he's always kept his ties to the community. His parents lived in town until only recently, and his mom has a real estate brokerage in the area. As the managing editor of Global Capital Markets at CoinDesk, the world's most read cryptocurrency news site, and the co-host of a daily morning show on CoinDesk TV called First Mover, Lawrence has built a reputation of relentlessly asking the toughest questions to the CEOs, Congress members, and government officials, using his training as financial analyst to pierce through the hype and spin. Before his current role, he was a producer and writer at CNBC and Yahoo Finance. Lawrence also worked as a foreign exchange trader for Millennium Management in its early years and in commercial real estate management and development. Wow. Lawrence hopes to bring his critical skills to the Board of Education to safeguard our children's education. His goal is to return Tenafly to its former heights as the top-ranked school in the state by United Parents, teachers, and administrators in their efforts to provide each child with a thorough and well-rounded education that includes not just STEM, but also language, humanities, and the arts. Greetings and welcome, Lawrence. How are you?
Hi, it's good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Yes, it's been quite a while. What an amazing background.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a large part of that was Tenafly. So, you got to thank the town. It was a beautiful area, and that's why one of the reasons I came back. I'm glad to be here. By the way, if you hear crickets in the background, so it's such a lovely night, and I decided to do this outdoors. So the crickets aren't necessarily the audience not listening, but it's actual crickets.
I'm in Tenafly as well, so we have the crickets too. We hear them every night.
Exactly.
We were trying to figure out for a while whether they were crickets or whether they were peepers, these tiny frogs we used to have when we lived in the Poconos, but we concluded it was crickets that we were hearing. Now, you're an accomplished individual. What makes you tick? You know, who is Lawrence? You know, are you doing, like, overall, the bigger picture?
I am not an accomplished individual as far as my mom is concerned, because I'm not a doctor. So let's just get that straight. As I said before, I'm a product of this town. In many ways, and as a product of this town at a time when the school system was absolutely fantastic. And it created a lot of, as I said, well-rounded individuals. And in terms of what makes me tick, you know, I had a very interesting career in finance, and I walked away from it to become a journalist, which was not necessarily, it's usually the opposite direction. But I did love, in many ways, the analytical aspects of journalism and, getting to the bottom of things. And yes, there are ways to profit from it, but I really enjoy being a journalist. And part of it is getting that information out, informing the public, not just keeping it to myself to profit off of, but informing the public of some of the things going on. And over the past few years, I've been covering the cryptocurrency markets and some of the good and some of the awful that has been happening in it. And that's what makes me tick on that aspect, let's say, on my career. But the most important driving factor in all of this is when I started having kids. Having a family completely changed who and what I am in so many great ways. You know, you stop caring about so many things that really worried you, and you start caring about the important stuff, really the important stuff, about just kind of the world that my kids are going to live in, how just even their day-to-day aspects, you know, their happiness and making sure they are who they can be. And you know, just the simple things that come from being a parent, it completely changed me. And I think it does that to all parents. And, you know, everyone always likes to think that they're unique, but no, it's really just an incredible thing. And so they are what makes me tick.
It's awesome having kids. That's my favorite role in life, being a father, until recently when I became a grandfather. So I have that role too. But yes.
Yeah. Then you get to give them back at the end of the night when they're cranky and they haven't slept enough. But as you know, as a father, you have to work through that whole process at night.
But it's wonderful. Yeah, I told my son when he first became a father that yes, you will get to sleep again sometimes sooner than you think. But it'll seem like in the beginning you'll never get to sleep again.
I suspect
wow.
That won't be the case.
Now, what brought you back to Tenafly? Because I came back to Tenafly too, so I was curious. What brought you back to Tenafly?
Well, there were a bunch of factors. I always wanted to come back. So I left Tenafly in the 90s after I graduated. So I finished college. I was actually commuting from Tenafly to college. I earned my way through it. I took the bus every morning to NYU and took the bus back home. I didn't drive. I used public transportation and, worked. I took whatever I could to work. First, I had a real estate brokerage license and then a real estate agent's license, rather, and sold the house while I was in undergrad and used some of that for my tuition. And then I started working in the markets at a hedge fund while I was still in my senior year. And after I graduated, I was going to grad school and I moved to Fort Lee and I lived there for about 20 some odd years. And then I got married and we moved to Jersey City. But I was kept ties, as I said, I was kept ties with Tenafly. And we were living in Jersey City. We had our two kids and we were looking for where to go. And I always hinted at Tenafly was the town I wanted to go back to. And then we were looking at houses. There were some houses we liked and my wife wasn't entirely sold on leaving Jersey City. And then there was a horrible incident that happened in Jersey City. It was in December, it was 2019, and there was a shooting in the town. It was an anti-Semitic attack, and four people were killed. It was at a grocery store, and it was actually a grocery store that I knew. I'd been there a few times, a kosher grocery store. It was a very nice, in a section called Greenville. It had a bunch of Satmar Hasidim who had moved into the town, and they set up a synagogue. They had grocery stores, things like that. And it was nice people. I actually did CrossFit with a member of that community, and we were bonding. And after the shooting, he left. He went to Monroe. He moved to upstate New York. And one of the things that happened was a school board member in Jersey City put out a comment on Facebook saying perhaps we should look at it why the shooters did what they did. In other words, maybe perhaps they had a point. That right there told me I need to get the hell out of this town as Jersey City. It was, you know, when you know that there's something, a murderous anti-Semitic attack occurs and a school board member there was saying stuff like, oh, maybe we should consider the killer's perspective. The killers were members of a death cult and basically is what they were. And that is the attitude of a member of the school board. And then worse was that many in the community were cheering her on. And as much as Jersey City had made incredible strides to becoming a really revitalized city and something even beyond what it had been in the past. You know what? This isn't the place. Jersey City is not the place to raise a family. And the place that I knew to raise a family was Tenafly. And so we put a bid on this house, and the day of closing, that our scheduled closing, my father was intubated because of COVID. It was a very, very tough time. So he's still in the, he's one of the longest cases of the long haulers, as they call them. He's been now on a ventilator for well over 18 months since then. He has a tracheostomy, and he's conscious, he's alert, he's trying to wean off the vent. He's no longer intubated, but he has the trach. But you know, it's one of the worst cases of COVID you can imagine. Thank you. It's sort of it's been that a little bit of a cloud to our return here in Tenafly, because the one thing I really want to do is to take him here and say, look, Dad, I'm back home. I'm back here. And I haven't been able to do that. He's only been able to see it from either FaceTime or photos when I come visit him. I see him every week.
Oh, great!
It's been some consolation, at least, to be back here and to see my son go to Smith School. Very, very interesting to walk through the halls where I was much smaller then, and to see the world again. To see that whole thing through his eyes was you know, that one day when they allowed the parents in was quite it moved me in ways I probably didn't show at the time, but I think back to it was just a few weeks ago, but I'm just like, wow, I can't believe I did that again.
Was that part of what motivated you to get involved with the Board of Education?
Yeah, that was certainly it was certainly part of it. I really wanted to be involved in his education in some way. As a parent, that's what you want to do, and my daughter as well. My daughter's in pre-K at Chabad, but it actually was this incident that happened a few months ago over at mom's school that it wasn't so much the incident itself, but the way in which it was handled by the board that made me very uncomfortable. I'm not going to say it brought back echoes of how the board in Jersey City was. Obviously, it wasn't something that like that at all, but it felt like it was poorly handled. It was poorly handled, and it was something that I did not, as a parent, want to see a board do. I mean, there are excuses they can make and things like that. And, you know, I don't believe people have bad intentions, but things can happen sloppily. And trying to, in a situation when a board isn't necessarily as upfront with the parents, it's worrying because it feels like they're trying to protect their own hide or whatever it was, but it was the response to it was many ways even more troubling than the actual incident, because it made me worry about, well, what's the future of my kids in this if that's how crises are handled, and I felt that it could have been done better, and so when the vacancies happened, I was told that nobody at the time, they're like, look, nobody, it seems like nobody's running. Nobody had heard if any candidates were going to go in. And I said, geez, you know what? Put my name in, get on the ballot, suffer through the weekly meetings and what have you, because it's worth it if it means that you don't have, you don't put, I wanted to lower the risk of what could have been on the ballot without knowing, if you don't know who's going to run, you're at risk of something not good happening and things just only getting worse. That's part of it. And the other part of it is just kind of hearing from my friends who did move back and are here. And they said, look, Tenafly hasn't been the town that it was when I left. In some ways it's gotten better, in some ways it hasn't. It's gotten worse. I felt that, okay, well, you know, time to make a contribution here.
And make a difference. And you have a very varied and, again, great achievements in your background. So you certainly represent a very different perspective. What would you like to see the board be like, or what would you like to see happen in Tenafly?
Well, one thing that I've noticed, and one thing that a lot of parents have brought up to me as well, is this feeling that the children in the middle, and so to speak, the children who aren't in gifted and talented, or the children who maybe aren't in special ed and special needs, are in a situation where they are competing for, they're not necessarily given the kind of resources or attention that that the parents would like, and that might not necessarily, you know, there might be resources out there that they're not aware of, but also it also is the tone and rhetoric. I think a lot of times we focus on the top achievers, and that's great. That's obviously important, and we do want that, and we do have a lot of people who are saying, okay, you know, we need to focus on the sciences and things like that. But we do have to remember that what made Tenafly fantastic was just its ability to produce people who were very well-rounded, very well-educated, not just in sciences and mathematics, but also in the arts. My graduating class, and the classes that were in school with me, we have people who won Tonys. My brother won 4 Emmys. You know,
wow.
This is, this was something that was, actually was nominated for 4, and I think he won 1. Then you had, you have people who won all sorts of awards, playwrights, composers, people who were fantastic in the arts. We had a tremendous art program in Tenafly, and the arts and humanities, it in many ways it's what makes a person a person. I mean, you know, we can't produce robots, and there is this thinking, okay, well, if we just focus on a few subjects that are going to be part of the competitive economy 10, 15, 20 years from now, our kids will succeed. Yes and no. What will happen is you will have fantastic middle managers, but if you want entrepreneurs, CEOs, people who are going to be at the top of their field, they have to have that full experience, that full background of knowing the arts, knowing the humanities, knowing our culture. I mean, we see what's happening in our culture right now, the sort of the conflicts happening on social media, et cetera, and a large part of it is that just so many people in our country and our world don't really have a grasp of where they came from and who they are, and all the things that have happened, and it just turns into anger towards each other, and it makes for just a society to be very, very hostile. And
yes,
having at least some sort of and you're somebody who appreciates it, appreciates the humanities. It's exactly the sort of thing that makes for great leaders. And I'm talking not just leaders politically. I'm talking about the great CEOs. I mean, you know, you think about like Steve Jobs. What was Steve Jobs? I mean, he was tough, but he was also very art. He had an incredible art background. You think about like what's happening tomorrow. William Shatner is going out into space.
Yes.
thanks to Jeff Bezos. But think about it this way. What Star Trek has created more scientists than anything that we could have ever imagined. That was incredible art. Star Wars did the same thing. You know, it created astronomers. It created out-of-the-box thinkers. And that's what Tenafly was producing. And we're talking about the top people of their fields. This is what this town can do for its children and should be doing for its children. You know, there are things that have to happen, of course. I mean, you know, some of the things include, you know, the teachers also are partners in this. We do love our teachers. There's no denying. I mean, this is one of the, if you look at the, you know, the thing the MBAs like to do, the SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, right? So we think about some of the strengths. Some of the strengths include the parents themselves are very proactive in this town, and the teachers are very capable, and they do care. And there does seem to be this sort of, at least for now, it doesn't seem necessarily like everybody is, you know, I don't want to say singing from the same hymnal, but they're not necessarily on the same page. And there's a feeling that, you know, maybe the board can do better bringing the parents, teachers, and administrators together, to bringing the teachers, the kind of motivation that they once had, the level that they once had. Because, look, they've suffered, they too have suffered a lot over the past few months with the pandemic. Yeah. And we're running low on teachers on some things, including science, including Spanish, including all sorts of things that we need just to get to the basics for our students. And trying to attract that talent, we have to do that. And to do that, you have to make Tenafly for the teachers as well, a town that they feel like, okay, you know, my career can rise. I wake up in the morning and I feel good about it, which many of them do, but we could do extra and we could show other teachers elsewhere the talent that we're trying to attract into the town, just how good a town this is for them to work in. This should be one of the most ideal places for any teacher to work. We should have lines out the door to work here. And yet we're still struggling to find teachers to fill some of the vacancies we have. Part of that was the problem of the pandemic and the upheaval that happened in terms of classrooms and the fear of going back to a classroom. We also have macroeconomic issues that in play right now. In terms of it's going to be harder to attract talent into this town, teachers into this town, when there are prices are going up and wages are going to follow with that at some point. We have more vacancies in the United States than we have unemployed, which creates this imbalance. In other words, there are far more jobs available than there are people available. So it's going to wages up. It's going to make things more expensive. So that's going to mean competition for those resources in this town.
So you have a vast mission to you know, basically, again, create a better tomorrow. And it sounds picked up on your journey is contributing towards this vision. It's very compelling.
Well, I don't think of it as all that bigger picture. It's the small things in small ways that can help overcome these sort of bigger forces that are happening in the economy right now and that's affecting this town. So yes, it is motivating the teachers. It's the communication. It's this idea that parents should feel that they're being heard. Teachers should feel that they're being heard from the administration, and teachers should feel that their input should also be factored into some of the management. And at the same time, the parents and the teachers together do have the same goals, even if they may not express it the same way. And it's up to the administration, it's up to the board to put those two together and to say, okay, let's work on this. Let's get this going. Let's get the teachers motivated to do what needs to be done. And that motivation isn't necessarily monetary. It's not necessarily, I mean, that is part of it, but there are limits to how much you can raise a teacher's salary because of all sorts of rules that are in place from the state. But there are other things perhaps we can do as a school, as a school district, to get the teachers going and to bring in the highest level of talent to teach our kids.
Now, we have less than half an hour today. We only have like 4 minutes or so left. But I'm very intrigued by what you're saying. You brought up a lot of points very worthy of contemplation and further conversation. How can somebody get involved with what you're doing or learn more about what you're doing or help support you in what you're doing?
I'm pretty accessible. I'm just drop me an email, lawrence@lewiston.com. What's that?
I said humble too. You're very accomplished, but you won't admit it. That's okay.
Well, no, I don't recall saving anybody's life from my work. Maybe I might have saved them a few bucks and warned them about some of the sketchy things going on, particularly in crypto. We have to put all of our work in perspective. And I think over the past 18 months, seeing the people who really do save lives on a daily basis, you can't compare. I mean, I've seen these doctors pull my father out of the grave several times. In ways that I couldn't imagine, I could never imagine. And I have a family of doctors and lawyers in my that I married into. Obviously, I'm biased towards the doctors, but the lawyers have done some pretty great stuff too.
Well, I think you're awesome, so, and I'm glad you chose to come back to Tenafly. And I want to thank you for your contributions to the community. I wish you great success in your upcoming contest. And if you send me links and things by email, I'll gladly share them wherever I can share.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and if anybody wants to send me an email, lawrence@lewiston.com, lewitinn.com. It's my first and my last name.com. I didn't put up a website for this campaign. I much prefer word of mouth and people in town have known me for decades. So you can ask anybody who's been around long enough, I'll let them praise or condemn me. But we'll see how things go in November.
We have around a minute and a half. Is there any last thoughts you'd like to leave with people, like about the importance of voting or anything that they should consider before the elections?
Yeah, somewhat to Inbal's point, these elections have the lowest turnout, especially school elections. They do have the lowest turnout, but we talk about the value of a vote. The highest value of a vote happens with a low turnout election. That is, your vote counts all the more. It's amplified, particularly in a low turnout election. However, in a school board election, you have to realize that vote does matter. It changes the tone. And if people are saying to themselves, well, I think we can do better. I think Tenafly needs to go back to what it was. You know, we talk about moving up in the ranks, let's say, as a school district, that happens when everybody, not just the top achievers, but everybody in the town benefits. The special ed students all the children in the 60% middle from the beginning, from elementary school to high school, and the need for enrichment programs after school, things like that, to get them all the more resources that they can use down the road. That sort of thing happens at the ballot box at the very beginning, with parents going and voting, not just parents, residents. Again, a better school district, if you don't have kids in town, nonetheless, a better school district is good for your property values. So that's an incentive. So, please come out and vote.
Very well said. Thank you, Lawrence. I enjoyed talking to you. And again, I wish you great success. Be well, my friend.
All right. I hope to see you soon. Take care.
Take care, you too. And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you dialed on the phone and you're in our queue, whether you clicked on a link on your phone here, or whether you're going to listen to us later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And don't forget to vote. Thanks again, everybody.